failing is only a bad thing if you don't learn something from it. If you do it over and over again, having a fail is horrible. But if you do a failure one time and you learn something from it, then it's not, from my perspective, a bad thing. It's a good thing because you gained experience and you know how to not do it.
Welcome to The Growth Show. What keeps us driving is what drives you further. This is your hosts, Sebastian Kunz
and Sarah Kaya.
Hello everyone and welcome to The Growth Show. We have a very exciting episode today. We're not going to be interviewing a speaker like you're used to. We're going to be talking to the one and only Serhat Kaya. Serhat, thanks for being here.
Happy to be here.
So Serhat is one of the co-hosts of the Growth Show podcast. And today we're going to find out a bit of what he does when he's not in the studio recording the Growth Show and what he does for a living. So a little bit of background information. Serhat is not only the Hamburg chapter director of Startup Grind, he is also the founder and managing director of Experience, the full-fledged digital agency. And of course, he's the co-host at the Growth Show podcast. Serhat, thanks so much for being here. And please tell us a little bit about yourself. Who are you and what do you do when you're not in the studio with myself chatting about business?
So, well, when I'm not usually running a podcast with you, Sebastian, I'm, always hustling for my digital agency. So what we are doing is we do websites, we do online shops, we do a lot of online marketing, trying to, well, make our customers more successful with conversion optimized campaigns. That's what my day-to-day business looks like. And once a month, I do a Startup Grind event, which is a global event running right now in more than 600 cities, 600 chapters around the globe. We started the Hamburg chapter, I think, in 2017, and we run it right now for each month and to interview, like we're doing in our podcast, amazing entrepreneurs. But in that case, with Startup Grind, it's local entrepreneurs, and the people in our audience can ask their questions and just get the insights we want to hear from one or two of the speakers we have in each event. So it's a fireside chat concept. Mm-hmm. And if I don't do that, I'm sometimes, not most of the time, but sometimes if I'm available, I'm also facilitator of some events. So I'm the moderator, I'm the master of ceremonies, and mostly at tech events like innovation, corporate innovation events or startup weekend events where people try to, well, innovate, disrupt and build something new.
Very cool. So Startup Grind, for the people out there, Startup Grind is connecting over 400,000 founders in over 200 cities. Can you explain a little bit how you got into that direction? Was it more of a coincidence, or were you always very interested in the startup industry, or can you explain a little bit?
So I think the funny thing is I wanted to found my first company with 16. What I didn't have back then was actually the network I have today. The connections to developers, the connections to people who can support me, people who can do sparring with me. I didn't have that back then. So this was the point when I was with 18, just running into this whole startup fiend thing here in Hamburg. And with, I think in 2010, I started also to do like startup events myself. I just came across Startup Weekend when we organized quite for a few years the Startup Weekend event concept here in Hamburg, which is like going through from idea to business within like 54 hours, which is like, let's just say it's a microscopic episode of how you build a startup within like a weekend. I've run that one for like 5 years or something. I'm also facilitator for events like that since 2016. And well, with Startup Grind, I was in the US facilitating a Startup Weekend there and met a lot of people who were like either going to a Startup Grind event or running a chapter of Startup Grind. And I was like curious because I always had Startup Grind as a conference in mind. And what I found out is that Startup Grind is even more than a conference. It's also connecting entrepreneurs in each city and, well, at the end, doing events each month to educate entrepreneurs and inspire them through successful and seasoned entrepreneurs who have much to say and much to share, and they do it most of the time, always with Startup Grind at least, it's for free. So they go there and share for free their knowledge. And well, I told that to my co-founder, Alexander, and he was like, hey, why don't we do it? We don't have that kind of an event in Hamburg, which is running every month and where we can just go and be inspired by other entrepreneurs ourselves and, of course, network. And at that time, we just decided to run Startup Grind here in Hamburg. And at the end, it was like applying for it. And luckily, through our experience we had during that time, we could answer all the criteria of Startup Grind and just start the chapter here in Hamburg.
Cool. So it was pretty much your previous experience that led you to become the Hamburg chapter director.
Mostly, yeah.
Cool. So in this role, you are in frequent contact with not only the German startup ecosystem, but I guess mainly. Could you tell us about the stories that you saw there? What was the most exciting? What was the most disappointing, maybe even?
So the craziest thing I've ever heard was actually with the founders of Ankerkraut and Gym Junkie. What these both companies have in common was pretty interesting. They both are e-commerce brands. They both are in different niche sectors. Ankerkraut is doing spices, and they have built a brand which is remarkable, and actually their products are also amazing. And Gym Junkie is a product which is in the fitness niche. They do their own fashion brands. They build their own fashion trend and design everything themselves, manufacture and sell it online on their online shop. And the interesting thing with both of them is they've built a brand and have a community which is amazing, but having a fan who just makes a tattoo on his body of your own logo is, from my point of view, actually pretty crazy. And I believe it is actually proof that your brand is there and people believe in you. Yeah. People believe in your brand. So I think this was a common thing I've seen in two of the speakers we had last year. And it was actually pretty remarkable for an e-commerce run startup with a brand, you know, like that's not something every e-commerce entrepreneur can do. And that was pretty remarkable from my perspective. And with Ankerkraut, it even goes a step ahead because they have even people who registered a fan club officially. So there are people out there who believe in the spice and are huge fans of his products and of the founders, that they decided to register officially a fan club. And this was, I think, the craziest and most remarkable story I've heard so far.
So getting a tattoo from an e-commerce brand is remarkable indeed. When are we getting the Growth Show tattoos?
Well, let's just do bets when we hit the billion downloads, and then we can just discuss to do tattoos of the Growth Show.
Okay, so that's a promise right here. You mentioned, Serhat, that Startup Grind is more of a fireside kind of event.
Yeah.
So this being said, you pretty much sit there comfortably talking to people. What was the best fireside chat that you had, and why would this stick in your mind?
So I think by far the best Startup Grind fireside chat was with Dirk Freise, who's a local entrepreneur from Hamburg. He did build amazing companies with his co-founders. It was Handy.de, it was Blau.de, so it was very, very early companies which are like the first internet-based companies actually in Germany, I think. They've tried and been successful with selling mobile phones, and as well as like the mobile packages with it, you know, like the cell phones and stuff like that. So it was probably during back then, it was some sort of a niche. But the interesting thing with them was like they started to build this platform and they needed the phones. So they had this first customer and they didn't have a phone. So what they did back then was they called a local shop owner and called them. During that time, they were studying in the US. Mm-hmm. So they were in the US, they were calling with a US number, a guy here in Germany, and asking them, so I would like to have a phone, buying it and shipping it in Germany. Could you do that for us? And the shop owner, he was confused with that order. He was like thinking, they're just kidding with me. You know, like this can't be serious. There's someone calling me from the US and trying to let me ship something somewhere. this should be a prank or something. And at the end, like, his father called that guy as well during that time, because it was like really quite a few years back. And he called and told them that UC Berkeley is actually a serious thing where his son is studying. And well, at the end, this was an actual serious request. So they sold a product on their website back then. And it was like a time where mobile phones, smartphones were not out there yet. So it was like a really early time. And like websites were not that fancy like they are right now, because technology is always like developing itself. But back then it was a great what they had. But people couldn't believe that you can sell online stuff. Yeah. So they just sold something online for some reason, for some way. Somehow it worked. They had this first order, but they didn't have a product. And they didn't care back then about that. In that case, they cared to get the first customer and then try to find a solution to deliver. And I think that was like by far the most interesting, most funny, as well as most inspiring story when it comes in terms of having a mindset for entrepreneurs. Yeah. Like, just make things happen.
Yeah. Cool. Thank you very much, Serhat. Getting back to your current company, the one that you founded yourself and that you're running as a managing director, which is the full-fledged digital agency called Experience. I guess you use a lot of tools. You use a lot of tools for optimization. You use many different channels to get your message across. But how do you handle your day-to-day business in terms of productivity and efficiency and optimization?
So there are actually quite a few easy hacks what I do. First of all, I'm a Mac user. So two of the things I will just mention right now will be for only for Mac. One thing is like having the cursor speed to the maximum is one of the things I found pretty useful, because like it feels like your Mac is on speed. It will take 1 or 2 days that you're like being comfortable with it, but if you are used to it, you will just work a slightly faster than you did before. It's pretty interesting. I've never like experienced that before. I never thought about that, but at some point I've read about it in the internet and just tried it out, and I was like, wow, that really works. And the second thing is an app which is called Alfred. And Alfred is pretty interesting, because Alfred is, for people out there who have a Mac will know it, you have Spotlight for searching quickly. And Alfred is Spotlight on speed. So you are really quick in searching, and everything you have in your clipboard, Alfred can save for a time you define. So you won't lose anything you copied so far. You can do like just quickly templates you have used before. You can just quickly type in with just a keyword and Alfred will type it in for you, like, because if you have some sort of an email you have like to type every 1 or 2 days to a customer, to a client, to a new customer, to onboard him or something, you don't have to just open a document. You can just type in a keyword and Alfred just types it automatically for you. So it saves you some time in typing or looking for something. And last of the things, it's also like a workflow automation tool. So you can just, if there are websites, for instance, you have to open, if you're working like 3 or 4 websites, you need them at the same time. You can like teach Alfred that you need these 4 websites if you put like 1 shortcut, and it opens all the 4 of them at the same time. So I don't have to just open 3 or 4 tabs. I can just open all the 4 tabs I need for working automatically, which saves also like a little bit of time. And well, usually I'm like a fan of having less tools, because I think like having too many tools for quite a few tasks, it haunts you at some point, because you don't have an overview and you try hardly to use all of the tools. But if it's not a really like badass problem you have, it's probably not worth it. I've seen that with myself in the past a lot of times, like using a lot of tools and then figuring out that I don't need them. You don't need them at all, because, I mean, the workaround is, you always like work around it itself usually. And then you're like, why don't I have that tool at all? So, but however, there are still some tools I like to use. For instance, Asana for project management, because I think it's really slick and it's really fast and it has a great overview for our customer projects. And well, of course, there are quite a few tools from developing perspective we use, but it's not for productivity. It's our day-to-day business. But in general, like, most important thing is like having Asana, having a great project management tool, and everything else is like really being you yourself and trying to figure out how you can be faster. I mean, of course, in the past, I've used also like Streak CRM. Streak CRM is a tool which gives you the opportunity to just also do mail merge. So in case you have to mail a lot of people at the same time the same message, or at least a similar message for an Excel, you can use Streak CRM. It's totally for free for that. We've used that in the past and it worked pretty well. But in general, like, I believe productivity should come from your mindset.
Yeah.
So being like doing priorities and always working with priorities and like only doing the things which are urgent and important first, like the Eisenhower method. I don't know if you guys know Eisenhower method, but the Eisenhower method works like this. You have the things which are important and urgent. These things you do immediately. You have the things which are important. These ones you can just time for later. You can do it at the same later point because they are important. And there are the things which are urgent but not important. These are the things you can delegate. Mm-hmm. And there are the things which are nor important, nor they are like urgent. So you can just throw them in the trash because it's not like you don't have to think about it at all. So this is something I've learned early on in my career from a consultant who did coach me quite a few years ago in sales. And this was one of the most important things I've learned from him.
That's cool. So this sounds more like increasing your efficiency and productivity instead of automating the crap out of everything.
Yeah.
Very, very cool. So looking back 2.5 years when you founded Experience in the very, very early stages, can you tell us a little bit about what was the most difficult part? What took up most of your time? What led to the most of sleepless nights on your side? What was the main hustle? Because I think founding a company with co-founders, I think you were 4 people. This doesn't sound easy.
So looking back, the hardest thing was like with 4 people who are like doing it all part-time or as a side project back then, was like having the time to be all of us four at the same time, finding the time spot to work on the project or actually at the establishing a business. So this was one of the few things which was actually hard. So I think looking back, the biggest mistake we did was in the beginning treating our venture as a side business, because I believe there are very few businesses which are worth a side business name. Most of them, especially an agency business, is a full-time job because you have to like have relationships with customers, you have to acquire customers, you have to work on your projects, you have to make it happen. But in the beginning, we were an event agency. At least we were planning to have an event agency. And what did throw us back during that time were 2 things. One of them was being too perfectionists. So we tried to have everything in the best way possible. So we didn't have that, let's just make things happen mentality, back then at least. Today, we are different on that thing because we learned a lot of things. But at that time, we were definitely perfectionists. We tried to have everything like it should be, and it should be everything perfect. And we did spend a lot of time on a lot of things. And of course, the second mistake we made was like we tried to make the website from friends and had also like friends conditions for building the websites. And the issue with that was like, if you do something like that, it's always hard because the priority of your friends who do that for you. We had friends who we didn't pay anything, and we had friends whom we paid a little bit something. And going cheap was especially a mistake because it took like forever to have a website. It took forever to have our first logo, to have our first business cards. At the end, one of my co-founders decided to do it himself, the first print stuff we had, like our business cards and stuff like that. And then we figured out, all right, we can do that ourselves. And then I was in the US, and during that time, he was like building our first website with WordPress, and we figured out, all right, so we can also build our own website. Why don't we do that for customers? And that was the point when we did a pivot. So actually, looking back, it was a pretty great outcome, but in general, it was also like, if you be honest, it were all like mistakes. But the most important thing is still, if I look back, and this is also one of my mantras, is fail is an attempt in learning. Like failing is not a bad thing. I think failing is only a bad thing if you don't learn something from it. If you do it over and over again, having a fail is horrible. But if you do a failure one time and you learn something from it, then it's not, from my perspective, a bad thing. It's a good thing because you gained experience and you know how to not do it.
Yep. So for an agency in the very beginning, I think it's of course always important, but it's very crucial to get the first customers. How did you get the first one, two, three customers and why?
So to be honest, when we founded the agency, because I had already a big network, I was like believing that putting the name out there that we are building an agency will get our first customers. However, it was not that. I mean, it was a misbelief because, of course, all of my friends and contacts, they had already partners they work with, like for events or also later on for websites, online shops, online marketing. So, and even if they didn't have and they had the need, they didn't know it just because I did put my company name into Xing or LinkedIn. You know, like it didn't help just to put it on there. So at the end, what we did was actually just hustling a lot, just going out there a lot. Our first customers came actually through our own network. The later customers who are also like great customers we met at the conference. It was a total coincidence because the customer, well, we didn't try to actually acquire him. We were just standing out there at the conference. We were just talking and he came by and we talked with him as well. And then I tried to help him and told him, yeah, so what is your product? And he told me like, yeah, this and that. And I was like, hey, that's pretty cool. I have a friend who could use that. Do you have a business card or something? I would like to show it to him and maybe he uses the platform. And he was like, sure, here's my business card. And I think like not 24 hours later, he was just mailing us and having a request to work with us. And it worked pretty well because we still work with him after 1.5 or 2 years now. And I think it's pretty great because building a great relationship is the most important key for us. So the funniest thing with our venture is actually that most of our clients, I believe at least 90%, recommend us to their friends, network, and business partners. And this is how we actually gain a lot of clients and projects we work on. And also, like, what we realized is with the services we offer, it usually starts with one service and then like it expands to other of our services. And we don't even try to hard sell. Yeah. It's that our customers share with us their problem and we offer them the solution, which is one of our services. And they say like, hey, that's pretty cool. Let's work with that. This is how we actually are at this point, like where we are right now, and we will definitely grow through that because we believe delivering great service and having always a satisfied customer is the key to success.
Do you plan on diversifying or broaden your portfolio even more, like in the next month or years, when, for example, a customer comes and says, hey, this is something we would like, but you don't offer that yet?
So with our services, we are already really broad, you know, like we have websites, we have online shops, we have online marketing, we have a lot of print stuff like corporate design. But the funny thing is we will definitely like expand our services at some point. But you have to be honest with yourself. How much can you do in your time you have? Because, and even with the partners you work, maybe freelancers or other agencies, how much can you do with your time? And this is the point where you have to be honest. An agency is maybe scalable if you have a lot of partners you work with. But if you're honest, at the end, it's still not a scalable business. Or if it's scalable, it's scalable slowly. So, and that's the like the biggest issue if you compare it to other tech companies and tech founders we had in our podcast so far. It's hard. It's really hard to scale it quick and fast. And this is also not something we try because we try to grow slowly.
Yeah. Fantastic insight, Serhat. Thank you very much. One last question from my side. If you could have dinner with anybody, you could choose whoever, dead or alive, who would it be and why?
That's a great question. So that one is actually pretty hard to say, but I believe since I'm also like a lot of times on a stage and talking and trying to inspire people with the things they do and with the things I do, I believe I would love to have a dinner with Steve Jobs, yeah, if it would be possible. So the reason is he was really charismatic on how he sold a product. And I believe I analyzed all of his product demonstration videos of the past, and each and every one of them were perfect on the execution side of a talk, of a presentation. Everything was on the right moment and the right time.
Yeah.
And I believe it comes a lot from practice, but it's also like the person he was. He was also some kind of a perfectionist, but in a good way, because he tried to make things happen, at least from the things you hear. I mean, I didn't know him personally.
Yeah.
But from everything I've read and from everything I heard from people he worked with, was the same. He was a charismatic guy. He did knew that design matters, which is also an important point. And quite a few startups, and all of them, but quite a few, design matters. And some founders forget what actually that design matters. And design is more than how it looks. It's also like how it feels. And this is the reality, which I would love to like figure out the mind of Steve Jobs, who created and disrupted so many markets,
yeah,
like with the iPod, with the iPhone, and even all the other technologies who came through the time he was at Apple and he had the lead in Apple. I would love to hear what this guy's like head works and what makes him tick and what makes him run, you know, like these kind of stuff. And I believe I wouldn't go with him for dinner. I would go with him for a walk, because
yeah,
this was one of the few things he loved to do.
Yeah. Cool, Sarah. Thank you very much. I'd like to highlight a few things that you said. What I found very interesting about the topic on automation is that you try not to automate too much, because you simply lose the overview of it and it cannibalizes each other in some extent. And that the productivity in the end of the day doesn't come from the tools that you use, but from your own mindset. You also mentioned a few things in the beginning that did not go as planned on your side, which is because you try to be too perfectionistic in the beginning. And I think this can also break the neck of a lot of people that try to found something in the beginning, is that they try to do everything perfectly. You also mentioned that in the beginning, when you founded Experience, you tried to be too perfectionistic. So this took up a lot of your time and resources, and this is something that you would not like to do, or that you not recommend to founders out there. And what you said, what I like the most personally, is that the failure is an attempt at learning. So you can fail as long as you learn from it. If you make the same mistakes twice, well, then you do something wrong. And I think it's not just the agency business, but most of the businesses out there where you try to sell stuff, building a relationship with your customers, with your clients, with your prospects, is the most important key to closing business. Serhat, thank you so much for talking about yourself this time and not with other people. And I hope you guys out there enjoyed it, the insights from Serhat, and stay tuned for what's to come.
Thanks for talking with me, Ben Sebastian. So stay tuned and, well, hear us next time.